I've worked with IRS data on charities before in some of my prior roles. And so when I arrived at the Johnson Center in February this year, I went to the executive director and said, I'd like to take a look specifically at Michigan nonprofits. And then about 3 weeks later, coronavirus hit. So that kind of sped up some of our analysis. And we really wanted to start looking at kind of where did nonprofits, or what did they look like maybe in January, right before all of this hit. So we really wanted to look at the resilience of nonprofits in Michigan from the financial side. Again, we can't remember a time when kind of the economy closed for a multiple week period. And we wanted to see what effect that might have on nonprofits.
Now, of course, with the IRS data, it goes back a few years. So you have to extrapolate where we are today. So take our listeners through that and how the research worked out.
Yeah, so what we did is the 2017 tax filings are the most current year, full year available. And since the economy from 2017 to January of 2020 was pretty consistent, we're using this data to kind of get a picture, a proxy of where we think nonprofits may have started this year. And then, yes, we're looking for data to see how they kind of survived through the crisis. But this picture is showing nonprofits on their full year 2017. What we also learned is that the results we got in Michigan, we have some very good national data that says Michigan is exactly at the national average, meaning what we saw in Michigan was replicated across the nation from other people doing similar studies. So we're pretty confident in the number.
And specifically, you're looking at cash in hand. Explain or paint a picture of what a typical year would look like. And we're looking at that window 2017 to 2020, and then where we are today.
Well, if you think of a company or a nonprofit or even your household budget, there's a checking account, then maybe you have a savings account secondarily, and then maybe you have some investments or some things that take some effort to turn into money, but they still have value. So that was what our study did, is we looked at those first two buckets, meaning just the cash on hand, literally cash in saving in checking accounts held by nonprofits, compared to their average monthly expense. And we found that the median nonprofit in Michigan has about 2 months cash on hand is what we expect at the start of this year. We then looked at that next bucket and said, okay, what about cash plus savings account or short-term investments? These things are very liquid, meaning you can walk up to a teller window and say, I'd like my money, and they give it to you right then. If you add cash plus savings, we're expecting that Michigan's nonprofits had roughly 5 months cash on hand, meaning if the world stopped, they could pay all of their bills, the median nonprofit in Michigan, for about 5 months. Beyond that time, some have investments or land or buildings that they own. That would be kind of the third source of money. But we were looking at kind of that most liquid cash and seeing where did that median nonprofit in Michigan land. That's the scary part, though. Median, by definition, means half have more and half have less. So our study also showed that half of Michigan's nonprofits have less than 2 months cash on hand.
We have these nonprofits now facing a financial crisis here. Factor in recession, factor in some of the stay-at-home orders. Take me through the scenario here that was unfolding that has driven much of what you're seeing in your research, or at least the most recent short-term research.
Yeah, and this is a story that literally changes month by month. I mean, and we call it kind of the corona timeline. We all have corona amnesia of forgetting kind of when things unfolded. In March is when we all shut down, or many sectors shut down. And in March, we were all thinking, okay, we all stay at home for 2 weeks, and then like a light switch, it'll flip back on and we'll come back in April. Well, when we got to April, we saw, ooh, it's not going to be a two-week shutdown. It's probably more like 6 weeks. And that's when you started to see more layoffs. That's when you started to see the federal government stepping in. And by May, we realized, wow, this is going to be a crazy, crazy year. One of the phrases we use is things in 2020 we think will get weird before they get better or worse. And I think we saw that play out certainly from April onward. So if you're running a nonprofit, kind of your first decisions were made on, okay, maybe our clients will go away or we'll have to close and not have some symphony concerts. But for other nonprofits, it was quite the reverse. If you're a nonprofit food bank or social service agency, you may have had an increase in demand for your services. So this is a very interesting time for nonprofits.
There's also the employment component here, as well as volunteers. What are the impacts?
Yeah, so as we looked at the data, again, if half of the nonprofits have 2 months or less, we then looked at, okay, what share has less than a month cash on hand, we suspect, as you started this year? That answer was basically one in three Michigan nonprofits had less than a month of ready cash on hand. Those nonprofits also employed two-thirds of the sector's workforce. I want to be careful here, too, that we exclude hospitals and private colleges and universities from analysis because those are just so big in terms of employment and assets and revenue. So kind of the what a typical person on the street pictures as a nonprofit, that's what we looked at. Those nonprofits are a key source of employment in the state. Overall in Michigan, nonprofits represent about 1 in 10 Michigan workers. So out of that kind of set, that 10%, half of those workers work in nonprofits that are cash starved. It's the same story that we're seeing in businesses. You know, until your doors are open, it's really hard to run a business. It's really hard to run a nonprofit.
And what nonprofit services are most challenged or most at risk that impact society? Because as you and I both know, the nonprofit sector fills in the gap where government doesn't do its best and also where the capitalist system says, well, I can't make money there. And that's the niche for nonprofits. So what are some of the services at risk out there?
Yeah, and this is where we found two kind of counterintuitive things we didn't expect. And one is smaller nonprofits actually had more cash on hand than bigger. And the second that we found is if you think, you know, one of the nonprofits or the sectors that's most threatened right now is kind of the arts, theater, museums, kind of that arts and entertainment side of nonprofits, they actually had more cash on hand than a typical nonprofit. And as we dug into the data, what we realized is small nonprofits and kind of arts organizations frequently have more cash on hand because they're always worried about not being in business. Arts organizations have had bad seasons or, you know, concerts that people didn't attend. The kind of in their DNA is to stockpile cash in case there's a bad year. The sectors that we're most worried about are in that health and human services side, meaning the traditional health and human services nonprofits, basically middle size and larger, meaning those nonprofits that employ maybe 20 or more people and kind of are stalwarts of the community. We're also concerned about the younger organizations, so kind of new energetic nonprofits, especially in health and human services and kind of, you know, mid-size and larger. That's the area that we're most concerned about in terms of as a class. They typically have less cash on hand than a typical Michigan nonprofit.
So where can some cash flow be found?
Cash flow can be found in nonprofits really in three primary areas. One is obviously contributions, donations. A second is what we call program service revenue. If it were a business, it would be called being in business. It's the things that nonprofits sell or the services that they deliver that they charge a fee for. And third is some nonprofits, especially in the health and human services sector, have government contracts, meaning they have large grants or contracts from the government, state and federal, to provide that social safety net. So depending on which sector of nonprofit, arts organizations, for example, get most of their revenue from donations or contributions. Health and human services organizations, for example, get most of their revenue from program services or government contracts. So depending on your sector, you kind of have to figure out how to get more money in quickly or respond to that demand. Programs like PPP, the extra government payroll and grants, those also are very helpful for nonprofits.
Where do endowments fit in and how can that alleviate some of the financial stress?
Yeah, if we leave foundations to the side for a moment and talk about kind of investment income or endowments of a typical foundation, that's less than about 8 cents per dollar, meaning it's a tiny, tiny piece of where a typical nonprofit earns revenue. Obviously, if we switch to foundations, the endowment is where foundations primarily earn their revenue. So here we have a case where in the foundation community, they're watching Wall Street, they're watching their investment returns very carefully. And the story there is basically we're effectively almost back today where we were on January 1. So the investments have performed very, very well through this chaotic time. It's on kind of the donation side. The nonprofits are very worried about what donations will look like as the year continues. Many people are out of work. That will affect contributions to nonprofits. They're also worried about their program service revenue. It's really hard to operate a nonprofit if your volunteers are scared or concerned about coming to volunteer, and if your clients are also very concerned about coming to get a service.
There is a huge community of volunteers.
There is, and that's a piece that we're really watching carefully, too. In the IRS filings, mid-size and larger nonprofits actually report their volunteers. And that same group, meaning that one-third of nonprofits that had less than a month cash on hand, that employed two-thirds of the sector's workforce, that's also where half of the volunteers in Michigan spend their time. So again, if you think of those nonprofits at risk, well, if you don't have a lot of cash or cash and savings on hand as a nonprofit, and your employees until recently weren't allowed to work, maybe I could open today and maybe my employees come back. But if my volunteers don't feel safe, and again, a lot of volunteers by age category, they tend to trend older. If the volunteers don't feel safe returning, that's a huge problem. The face of volunteering could also look different. Think if I was if I draw passion from teaching people to read. So I'm a literacy volunteer. Well, part of that, what I get out of that engagement is, you know, sitting next to someone very close and helping them learn to read. You know, literacy volunteering will look very different if I'm 6 feet away or behind a plexiglass barrier. So if you can think of some of the acts and duties of a volunteer, those will also look very different in a personal protection environment scenario.
If you had a crystal ball now and knowing what you know, how do you see things playing out in the next year to 18 months?
I think in the next year to 18 months, we'll see the same thing in nonprofits that we're going to see in business. And that is that some will choose, sadly, not to reopen ever. Some will choose to keep their doors closed maybe into 2021 before they reopen. Some will, you know, figure out a way with baling wire and duct tape and string and hopes and prayers to keep things rolling. And some will, they'll figure it out. They're going to be okay. Meaning it's going to be a wide, wide range of experiences for nonprofits and for small businesses. And just as you said, this story will not be done by fall with everything we see now. This story might be wrapped up kind of a year from now, meaning we probably have another 12 to 18 months for this recovery to play out.
Jeff Williams, you're the director of the Johnson Center's Community Data and Research Lab at Grand Valley State University. Thank you so much.
Thank you.